Good morning and welcome to Occupy the Airwaves. Okay, today I'm going to continue on my reading of the Ministry of Defense of the Russian Federation's report on the bioweapon labs in Ukraine. Part of that is because it's being so heavily censored. I want to get it on the record. And part of it is because I am absolutely furious at people who just ignore the criminal and illegal continuing work on making dangerous pathogens more dangerous and more transmissible to human beings. I get it that Americans don't care about people in other countries, but they've targeted us now. And worse, now they're going after the kids. And here is what happened. They're telling us complete bull. They started out, when they started this out in January 2020, they told us stupid stuff. If you were listening back then, I was complaining that, oh, you don't get respiratory viruses from potatoes, from touching your forehead, which is what they were telling us. But they didn't try to tell us that respiratory viruses were spread in the summer months. They admitted that the cold and flu season was in the winter, and they admitted that the 1918 flu went away in the summer, and in 2020, they didn't try to pretend that the virus was still around, SARS-2 was still around in the summer. They let it go naturally down the way all respiratory viruses do in the summer. But then they realized that, God, Americans will believe anything you tell them, and they'll get mad at whoever you tell them to get mad at. If we release a bioweapon and it's killing people, and we tell them that it's the fault of their neighbor, well, then they'll get mad at their neighbor. They won't get mad at us for funding and researching bioweapons. The very man known to have funded many of the bioweapon research labs, Anthony Fauci, they put him in charge of the friggin' response. And nobody hung him. You know, what the heck? Let alone put him in jail. I think he's still, I don't know, I don't pay attention to the TV much because it's such bull. But I know a lot of people do pay attention. That man should be in prison. The bioweapons lab should be shut down. Instead, they have released another one in the middle of summer, and this one's targeting children. And you want to know why they're targeting children now? You want to know why this new variant is targeting children? Because only 5% of American children under 5, their parents are not stupid enough to inject their child with a vaccine that they already tell you doesn't work for this variant into children who 80% of them have already had the disease, so they're already immune. Americans aren't that stupid, but scare them enough. So now they've released a new one in the middle of summer when respiratory viruses don't spread. And they're telling us it's a natural variant, a mutation that is more transmissible and more virulent. When even 2020, they didn't pull that nonsense on us. They said as it mutates naturally, that's the key word, naturally. As viruses mutate naturally, they become more transmissible and less virulent. But for some reason, they're releasing variant after variant, and each time it's getting worse. And they know that Americans seem to be too stupid to notice. So they're just going to keep doing it. They're going to kill kids so they can sell their vaccines, so Pfizer can make $50 billion in profits. And Americans don't seem to care. Well, you know what? The Russians do. And I care. I care a whole lot because I know they're going after my grandchild. And I swear to God. Well, never mind. So I'm going to read this from June 16th. This is the third report I'm reading. And it is about the bioweapons. Well, they don't call them bioweapons because the United States denies their bio. There was bio research, don't you know? Had nothing to do with weapons. It's just research. Mm-hmm. So the Russians go along with that because they're polite, but I'm not going to go along with that because I'm not polite and I'm furious about this. The Ministry of Defense of Russian Federation is conducting routine work to analyze the military biological activities of the United States and its allies in various regions of the world, including Ukraine. Earlier, we talked about the laboratory staff in Mirav conducting experiments on patients of psychiatric clinics in Kharkiv in the period from 2019 to 2021. As it was noted, one of the organizers of this illegal activity was a U.S. citizen, Linda Aporto Ahura. I never heard of Linda Aporto Ahura, but I'm saying she should be in prison. Why is she not? Well, you know what? I don't know that she isn't, except for I do know that she isn't, and so do you. You know that there's no way this woman has been held accountable for her crimes. Meanwhile, people are sitting in prison for a year and a half for the crime of parading. Parading. Yeah, that's a real crime. Thanks to the documents obtained during the special military operation, we learned that similar studies were conducted in Ukraine at least since 2011, and Arharan repeatedly visited the branch of the Marif Laboratory, built at the expense of the Pentagon, in the village of Sorokova, Kharkiv region. Despite the fact that this facility is equipped with underground storage facilities and powerful ventilation systems, officially it is a company for the production of food additives. At the same time, the company's website bears obvious signs of fictitiousness, and with the beginning of a special military operation, the equipment of the branch under the control of the SBU was taken to the western regions of Ukraine. This confirms our concerns about numerous violations of international humanitarian law on the territory of Ukraine, as defined inter alia by the Nuremberg Code and the Helsinki Declaration of the World Medical Association. He's talking about international law, right? I know the United States doesn't do international law. We do the rules-based order, where those who have the gold make the rules. And if we don't have the gold, we'll just go to Ukraine and steal theirs, or Venezuela's gold, or Iraq's gold, or Libya's gold. Yeah. This is international law, as spelled out by the Nuremberg Code and the Helsinki Declaration. These include voluntary consent of a person to participate in an experiment, informing about the research being conducted, avoiding unnecessary physical and mental suffering during the experiment, and torture, inhuman, or degrading treatment. Look at that. Not only were they experimenting on psychiatric patients in Ukraine, now they've upped their game, and they're experimenting on the entire populations of the West who are falling for it. They tried in Africa, but the Africans were more like, yeah, go away, we don't trust you. So it's mostly places that the U.S. empire has the highest infiltration that are being experimented on with this vaccine, or what they call a vaccine, because they changed the definition of the word vaccine. Poof! We're an empire now, and we create our own reality. Yeah. According to the available information, highly active substances of neuromodulators were tested on socially unprotected citizens of Ukraine, which caused, among other things, irreversible damage to the central nervous system. This is a clear violation of the norms of international human rights treaties. We have already mentioned the role of the Ukrainian Science and Technology Center in the U.S. military biological program in Ukraine. I would like to focus on the P-268 project. The Taras Shevchenko National University of Kiev and the University of Colorado participated in its implementation. Please note the letter from the executive director of the, to the U.S. State Department on the organization of research within the project. In it, Hood notes the quote, "More than 30% of the participants are former scientists with experiences in developing weapons of mass destruction," unquote. The stated goal of the project is to study viruses that can infect Aedes mosquitoes. Remember, those are the ones that didn't used to be in the United States, but now they are? You think they aren't coming after you? You better think again. In accordance with the terms of reference, the viral drug was developed by the Institute in Kiev and delivered to the United States for field aerobic research. The interest of American customers in mosquitoes of this type, which are carriers of vector-borne infections such as dengue fever, Zika, yellow fever, is not accidental. During the last major outbreak of yellow fever in Africa in 2013, 170,000 cases of severe form of the disease were recorded, of which 60,000 ended in death. Everyone remembers about the infection in blankets for American Indians with the smallpox virus, but they talk less about the deliberate infection of Guatemalan citizens with this syphilis pathogen, which was recognized by U.S. President Barack Obama. The use of herbicides during the Vietnam War is even rarer now, but the history of deliberate outbreaks in Cuba in the 70s and 80s of the last century is completely ignored. In the materials of the class action, it is noted that the dengue fever epidemic in Cuba in 1981, as a result of which 345,000 people fell ill, 158 of them died, was the result of the spread of the second serotype of the dengue virus. This serotype has not previously been recorded in the Caribbean, and the outbreak had clear signs of deliberate nature. Thus, the time of the attack, end of January, was chosen, taking into account the biological characteristics of the life cycle of mosquito vectors, and was optimal for the subsequent development of the epidemic process. Well, look how primitive that was. They made 345,000 people ill with a clear bioweapon in 1981 in Cuba, which I never even heard of. But at that time, they tried to make it look natural by doing it when mosquitoes are naturally hatching. And that's exactly what they did in January 2020, released a new respiratory virus in the middle of cold and flu season. But they don't bother with that anymore. They don't bother. They think we're all idiots. An artificial outbreak of another viral disease, African swine fever, occurred in Cuba in 1971. During the epidemic, 500,000 animals were destroyed, and the country suffered significant economic damage. Although previously no cases of African swine fever were recorded on the American continent, because get a clue, it's called African swine fever, and in the Western Hemisphere as a whole, they appeared in Cuba. Poof! How about that? A former FBI official provided some clarity on this issue, who in an interview with Newsday reported that the CIA delivered a container with the African swine fever pathogen from Fort Gulick in Panama, which was under U.S. jurisdiction at the time, and transferred it to a fishing vessel off the coast of Cuba. He accurately indicated the farm where the pathogen was introduced. Between 1980 and 1982, the Cuban leadership reported a number of unusual outbreaks of viral infections of economically important agricultural crops, sugarcane and tobacco, which appeared in different regions of the country and were not related to each other. So you think they only tried to kill Castro? No, they tried to kill a whole bunch of other people and plants and animals in Cuba. At the same time, these facts, the investigation of which is ignored by the United Nations and the World Health Organization, are only part of the U.S. military biological dossier. Okay, the United Nations, which is supposed to treat every country in the world equally, and the World Health Organization, which is supposed to look after the health of the people of the world, especially epidemics, are uninterested in why Cuba would suddenly be infected with diseases that have never, ever been in the Americas or the Western Hemisphere before. And all of a sudden they're wiping out pigs and people and tobacco and sugarcane. All these viruses are wiping out all these creatures in Cuba. And the United Nations and the World Health Organization just don't seem to care. Despite the assurances of the United States that biological research in Ukraine is conducted exclusively in the field of civilian health, documents were obtained confirming the direct interaction of the military departments of these countries. I would like to draw your attention to the notification about the inclusion of laboratories of the Central Sanitary and Epidemiological Department of the Ministry of Defense of Ukraine in the Biological Threat Reduction Program. It is noted that, quote, "The program provides an opportunity to carry out cooperation between the Ministry of Defense of Ukraine and the United States Department of Defense, as well as creates legal principles for its further expansion," unquote. Okay, again, this is called the Biological Threat Reduction Program, and the story they're telling you, because they think you're going to believe anything, is that the United States has been in Ukraine for 30 years trying to get rid of Soviet-era biological warfare weapons. And yet, here, they're talking about, these are papers that when the Ukrainians and Americans working on these bioweapons ran because the Russians were coming, they left some of the papers behind. They took a whole bunch of papers. They burned a lot more. They smashed up computers, but they didn't get everything. So here they are. The Biological Threat Reduction Program is talking about legal principles for its further expansion. There are no legal principles for further expansion. It's all illegal under international law. I know Americans don't believe in international law, but that's the truth. There is such a thing as international law, and everyone's supposed to go by it. is characteristic that since 2015, the beginning of large-scale funding by the Pentagon for Ukrainian projects, numerous cases of infectious diseases have been recorded among military personnel, as well as residents of the Luhansk and Donetsk People's Republics. So you see, you know who's really fighting in Ukraine. We're told it's the Russians, but the people that are really doing the on-ground fighting are the Luhansk and Donetsk People's Republics. I wonder why. Maybe because they're being experimented on. Maybe because they're having diseases released. Maybe because the Nazis under the Kiev regime were parked in their oblasts and were killing. They killed 15,000 of their residents. Gosh, I wonder why the militias of Lugansk and Donetsk are doing the heavy fighting to get the Ukrainian Nazis out of their country. Well, they were part of Ukraine back then. They have now declared themselves independent territories. According to the report of the Ministry of Health of the DPR, quote, in 2016, the incidence of tularemia increased by 9.5 times compared to 2007. There are also distinctive features in the structure of morbidity, including an increase in the number of military personnel among the sick, unquote. So here they used all these militias and all these right sectors and these Azov battalions. And I mean, they got people from all over the world to come kill people in Donetsk. You know, if you're a psychopath, and you're allowed to go to Ukraine and just take pot shots at citizens walking down the street, blow up little kids, and you're a sick old creepy psychopath, of course you're going to go. That's why there's so many citizens of other countries being found in Ukraine right now, because they thought that was a fun time. That was like the sickos that go to Africa and kill endangered animals. That's what these people were doing. But then they experimented in the military, so, you know, there's no honor among thieves. And then he says, here's a list of cases of tularemia in the DPR, and I assume he put that out, because this is a slideshow. For security reasons, we do not disclose their personal data. This information has been passed on to the Investigative Committee of Russia. Let me remind you that in the NATO guidelines for the assessment of radiation, chemical, biological, and nuclear losses, tularemia is considered as one of the priority biological agents. This particular pathogen was used during the alliance's military exercises at training grounds in Sweden with official confirmation in 2012. I would also like to note that during the period from 2017 to the present, several dozen outbreaks of hepatitis A were recorded in 12 regions of Ukraine, where biological facilities controlled by the Pentagon are located and operate. More than 10,000 people fell ill. In most cases, the cause of the disease was not established. Oh, there they go with that Russian understatement again. Let's see, 10,000 people get sick around biological research labs controlled by the Pentagon. That is a mystery. An analysis of the documents on the activities of the Office for Threat Reduction in Ukraine shows that one of the priority tasks of DTRA is the training of field epidemiologists. As part of the training courses, the American side is actively implementing its own standards for the diagnosis of infectious diseases that do not meet current health problems. Yeah, like having African swine flu in Cuba. Or us in America getting a disease that supposedly was in bats in the middle of China. Yeah, how does that happen? Let me remind you that in 2015, the World Health Organization declared Ukraine a country with a high risk of polio outbreak, and the fight against this particular dangerous disease is an obvious priority. With this in mind, attention is drawn to the response of the project manager of the DTRA Ukrainian office, Brant Siegel, to the regional representative of the World Health Organization. It states that the Biological Threat Reduction Program implemented in Ukraine, quote, does not provide for the study of diseases such as polio, unquote. The question arises, then what diseases are relevant for Ukraine? After the start of a special military operation on the territory of Ukraine, the United States developed and implemented an evacuation plan for Ukrainian citizens who were directly involved in ensuring the operation of the biomonitoring system in order to, quote, prevent the leakage of sensitive information, end quote. Really? Why would that be sensitive if they're trying to clean up labs that someone else left? Even if it is taking you 30 years, you'd think that wouldn't be sensitive. Yeah. This raises additional questions about the activity of the specified system and its true goals. We have already noted that Hunter Biden played an important role in creating a financial opportunity to work with pathogens on the territory of Ukraine, providing funds for the companies Black & Veatch and Meta Biota. The published materials of Biden's correspondence with the management of the Rosemont Seneca Investment Fund indicate the use of administrative resources and outright lobbying of the interests in Meta Biota in U.S. government circles. In case you're wondering why they put that senile old guy in there instead of, like, you know, not rigging the election and letting Bernie Sanders be the candidate, the one that actually won the 2016 and the 2020 primaries. Yeah, they had other plans. So in his address, the managing director of the fund asked Biden, quote, "Is there anyone we can call in Washington to get an idea of how seriously Meta Biota is being treated in various government agencies?" End quote. Such statements raise the question of Biden's and other Rosemont Seneca co-founders' personal financial interest in the implementation of the Pentagon's military biological program in Ukraine, as well as the presence of a corruption component, you think? But don't ask about corruption. Boy, that'll get you impeached in a hot flash. The obvious lack of investment attractiveness of projects for the reconstruction of Ukrainian biolaboratories raises doubt about the transparency of financial activities. Another understatement. In addition, funding from non-state sources such as the Biden Foundation allows the Pentagon not to report to the Senate Budget Committee on the goals and results of military biological research in Ukraine, thereby hiding them from a general public. Yeah, as if anyone in the Senate or House ever asks any questions about what the Pentagon does anymore, or the CIA. This isn't the 70s. We don't have a Frank Church anymore. The analyzed documents of investment structures accountable to Biden do not contain information on payments to beneficiaries and distribution of dividends. With a high degree of probability, this indicates a concealment of profits and is a sign of the implementation of illegal payment schemes and tax evasion, which is a serious violation of U.S. law. But as we know, U.S. law is only for the little people. It isn't for the crooks and criminals that rule us. In addition, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that on June 9th, an official statement was published on the Pentagon's website about U.S. biological activities in the former Soviet Union. In it, the U.S. administration recognized the fact of funding 46 Ukrainian biolaboratories and the connection of the U.S. Department of Defense with the Ukrainian Science and Technology Center. At the same time, it reflects the specifics of the implementation of the Nunn-Lugar Joint Threat Reduction Program in the post-Soviet space, one of the goals of which was to attract, quote, thousands of former Soviet scientists specializing in biological weapons, unquote. God, that sounds like when they brought over those Japanese bioweapons scientists and the German ones. Well, guess they're up to their old tricks. Such an attempt by the U.S. administration to whitewash its tarnished reputation turned out, in fact, to be a prosecutor's dream. The document shows the facts of the Pentagon's military biological activities on the territory of Ukraine and other countries of the former Soviet Union and identifies accomplices of the U.S. military department. However, the clarifications provided by the United States do not provide answers to the questions raised by us. Why? Oh, by the way, he has clarifications in quotes. Why were the works commissioned by the Pentagon and their subject matter did not correspond to the current problems of healthcare in Ukraine? For what purpose did U.S. military personnel take part in biological research in Ukraine and the work was carried out in secrecy with limited access of Ukrainian specialists to information and premises? Why were strains of pathogenic microorganisms, potential agents of biological weapons, and biomaterials of Ukrainian citizens exported from the territory of Ukraine without clearly declared purposes? Why did the United States and Ukraine keep silent about the facts of cooperation in the military biological sphere in international reporting under the BTWC, biological, and let's see, what is that? Biological, biological weapons, chemical weapons, and probably, yeah, well. While the United States has blocked the development of its verification mechanism since 2001, why are U.S. officials, including Deputy Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, the one that organized the coup in 2014, the violent coup that overthrew the elected government of Ukraine and put in the Nazis into the regime of Kiev, that Victoria Nuland, why is she the Deputy Secretary of State instead of being in prison? That's my question. They're not asking that, but that's my question. Why are these people not just out of prison, not just walking around the streets of the United States, they're employed by the U.S. government? Why? So anyhow, start back. Why are U.S. officials, including Deputy Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, so concerned about the possibility of transferring the results of the U.S. Department of Defense's activities in Ukraine and the materials and biolabs under the control of Russian specialists? Thus, the picture presented in the Pentagon statement is just a screen under which the United States carries out its activities in circumvention of international agreements and continues to build up its military biological potential. At the same time, Ukraine is assigned the role of a testing ground for conducting tests, collecting biological materials, and studying the specifics of the spread of infectious diseases. So that is the end of the June one, and I've already read the other two, and I do have a, not everyone is just so very blasé about, that was Peter Watson on BK.com. But again, most Americans, they're not told by the media to be upset that a bioweapon has been released, and not just one, a series of bioweapons in the last 2 years have been released, and now they're targeting children, and Americans still don't care. I don't understand what's wrong with Americans, but there are people who are mad, and there's this guy, and this is called the second smartest guy in the world.substack.com. And he's talking about Metabiota, Ukraine, and the CIA. So what he's saying is, so in effect, using private companies, aka Metabiola, EcoHealth, for military purposes, obviates the need for congressional oversight, as if, and provides diplomatic immunity for those engaged in such activities. As far as I know, there's only one senator, no, two, Rand Paul and that guy Johnson from Minnesota or Wisconsin or something. And those are the only two that have shown any concern at all. And so they're going after them, especially the guy from Wisconsin, Johnson. Now, so then this guy, the second smartest guy in the world, Substack, Metabiota, Ukrainian CIA, he has a bunch of pictures, and he has Andrew Weber as U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense under Obama in Georgia. Now, remember that Georgia, and I'm not talking about the CDC in Atlanta, Georgia, in America, I'm talking about Georgia, the country, has also been a scene and a site for U.S. bioweapon research. And they have also had outbreaks of diseases that are not, that have never been seen before in Europe. How does that happen? How is it that the Pentagon moves into these former Soviet countries, sets up bioweapon research labs, and all of a sudden the people there are getting sick with pathogens that are not endemic to Europe? Coincidence? I think not. So here is that same Andrew Weber working for Metabiota in Georgia. Look at that. He works for a private company and the U.S. government. That's called a conflict of interest. The U.S. company Metabiota Incorporated has been awarded $23.9 million in federal contracts. So these are tweets from Keith Evans. So Nathan Wolf is CEO of Metabiota in Ukraine, advisory to EcoHealth of Wuhan fame, and was a young leader of the World Economic Forum. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. Birds of a feather are flocked together, perhaps, but it's a close-knit circle. Oh, I just said that. Okay, so this is this guy named Nathan Wolf, and he's from Metabiota, which Hunter Biden helped pay for. And this says, in addition to having close ties to the WEF and its Great Reset agenda, Nathan Wolf, the founder of Metabiota, has also served on EcoHealth Alliance's editorial board since 2004. In 2017, he co-wrote a study on coronaviruses in bats together with EcoHealth President Peter Daszak. EcoHealth works closely with the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. I guess that's as far as I'm going to go. Today I'm running out of time. Well, what I'm saying is, if Americans don't rise up and put a stop to their government having bioweapon labs all over the world and releasing deadly viruses and other pathogens on the humans, on the animals, and on the plants of the world, then they're going to keep doing it. And then you don't have any right to complain. Because if you don't demand that this be stopped, you don't have any right to complain when you get sick or your animals get sick or whatever. You don't have any right. If you don't care enough to say stop all bio research weapons, then what can I say? All right, that's the end of Occupy the Airways. See you next week.